WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg and Winchester's daily newspapers are changing hands in a sale announced Tuesday. The state Senate passes a bill against so-called sanctuary cities, and we have some guidelines for how to approach and best help panhandlers. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, March 7th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The Senate has passed a House bill to prohibit the creation of so-called sanctuary cities in Virginia. The legislation says that no locality shall restrict the enforcement of federal immigration laws or face reduced state funding for doing so. Craig Carper from partner station WCVE reports.
Democratic Senator Jennifer McClellan of Richmond says the bill sends the wrong message and is unnecessary because the U.S. Supremacy Clause prohibits the creation of sanctuary cities.
You have American citizens, people who were born here, who are terrified because they look like they might not belong here. They're afraid.
Republican Senator Bill Carrico of Grayson.
If someone walked in your house and sat down in your chair without your permission and without you being there, you would be the first one to call law enforcement and tell them to get out. Well, these individuals are coming into a country in an illegal manner, and you're trying to say you don't want immigration to enforce that law.
Governor Ralph Northam says he will veto the bill. Craig Carper, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
The chaos of the last election in Virginia is causing some discussion in Richmond about improving the way that people vote. But the House and Senate have radically different approaches. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the latest from the Capitol.
Remember last year when all those voters cast ballots in the wrong election? That was because of split precincts, where some voters were in one district while other voters were in a different district in the same precinct. Republican Senator Mark Obenchain of Rockingham County says it's time to end split precincts.
There were precincts in which there were two legislators you could vote for depending upon where you lived within that precinct. That's just wrong. We ought to have a precinct that is entirely within one legislative district.
But members of the House of Delegates say, hold on a minute. Republican Delegate Mark Cole of Fredericksburg says forcing local governments to eliminate split precincts for legislative districts might end up backfiring.
I don't think the Senate solution is going to be workable. I think it will end up with more split precincts at the local level or a bunch of incredibly small precincts increasing the cost of elections.
House members and senators will be headed behind closed doors for a secret conference session to hammer out the differences.
Texting while driving is already illegal in Virginia, but a bill now being debated in the state Senate would require hands-free use of cell phones. And Michael Pope has that story.
Police officers in Virginia have a hard time going after people who text while driving. That's because they don't know if the driver is texting or using GPS or even streaming music. That's why Senator Scott Sorbell of Fairfax County wants to require any use of a cell phone be mounted to the dashboard or the windshield, not in the hands of drivers.
Right now in Commonwealth of Virginia, our current code does not specifically prohibit chasing Pokemon while driving, playing Angry Birds, or cruising the internet or even watching YouTube while driving, and that's ridiculous.
Senator Mark Obenchain of Rockingham says if this bill is successful, it will be the most disobeyed law in Virginia.
It undermines the rule of law when we pass laws that we know people are going to uniformly disobey, whether it's picking it up to look at the time on your phone or push the home button just to see whether it's your boss or your child or your wife who's texted you.
Those would be illegal under the version of the bill now being debated in the Senate, unless the phone was mounted to the windshield or the dashboard. The Senate is expected to vote this week. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, in January, after WMRA aired a report about panhandlers, many listeners wanted to know more about the services available to them and about the best way to respond or help. WMRA's Christopher Clymer-Kurtz took those questions to some of the people working on the front lines.
Last week, at a stoplight on Court Square in Harrisonburg, I saw a man holding an empty coffee cup out to cars. I had just come from an interview about panhandlers, and there was one. I parked and approached him. He was leery of my microphone. Panhandling is degrading, he said, but necessary until he can turn his life around. He's getting help for alcoholism and is on a waiting list for housing and stays in a shelter at night.
What kind of response do you get from people when you're out here with your coffee cup?
Usually not bad, he said.
I think that panhandlers are a symptom of a larger problem.
This is Shannon Porter, executive director of Mercy House, right along High Street in Harrisonburg.
The problem ultimately comes down to things like affordable housing, and it comes down to the ability of people who have barriers, mental health, substance abuse, physical barriers, to be able to subsist and make a living. That ultimately is a reflection of our economic health as a community and the equity of our community.
There are a variety of services available to panhandlers and others in need. In Charlottesville, a number of churches serve meals, and there's a morning day shelter where people can shower, do laundry, and use a computer. Potsham is a seasonal evening and night shelter there. People often ask Executive Director Jason Whitehead about panhandlers, and he says that giving money to a panhandler is a personal decision. He suggests giving small denomination gift cards to nearby businesses or restaurants, or directing people to local services.
They could certainly contact area homeless services and say an individual's panhandling at this intersection, and they're worried because it's going to be really cold that evening, because we do have what are called path workers that go out into the community and would go and track down that gentleman or that lady.
In Charlottesville, a one-page street sheet compiled by the Thomas Jefferson Area Coalition for the Homeless for local workers to keep on hand lists everything from soup kitchens to thrift stores and much more. Harrisonburg's version of the handy resource is maintained by the Community Resource Center, where coordinator Mary Beth Hill is available to point people to services. She suggests that instead of cash, people keep granola or protein bars on hand for panhandlers, or once they've lent a listening ear, share the resource guide.
If you can connect them with people and agencies that have resources and sustainability, then maybe they could work towards a more stable lifestyle.
She also recommends supporting the organizations working the front lines, such as Our Community Place, or OCP, where volunteers are preparing for a Friday lunch fundraiser. Many of these volunteers also use OCP services, meals, lockers, showers, laundry, phone, and internet. But Executive Director Sam Nichols said that OCP also offers something even more meaningful, community.
Sometimes it's just treating people with dignity and asking them about their lives or enjoying conversing over a meal.
The administrative director of OCP is Eric Olson Getty. He said that putting together the building blocks of stability is an arduous process made even more complex by mental health and other issues.
You know, when I look at a panhandler on the street and think, well, I know how to solve that person's issue. Maybe if I just go help them find a job, one thing will lead to another and their life will be fixed. It's just not true. And so I think even entering into relationship with somebody and gaining a deeper understanding of who they are, what their life experiences have been, what the challenges are that they face right in front of themselves. You know, I've learned the answers are not quick, simple, or easy.
But the people out on street corners represent only the tip of the poverty iceberg. Celeste Williams is the director of the Harrisonburg-Rockingham Social Services District.
17% of our population lives below the poverty line. There's a lot of people right above that, too, I think, that really need our assistance and different resources in the community to make ends meet.
That's a huge percentage of people. Why aren't there more panhandlers out there?
True, right? You had to be pretty desperate, unfortunately.
Maybe the presence of panhandlers puts an edge on a community's conscience and demands empathy. Sam Nichols of OCP.
I would encourage people to mentally put themselves in the shoes of these folks. Go out on the street for a couple hours and ask for donations and see how you're treated and see the kind of stares that you get.
Back on Court Square last week, I felt like I needed to do something for the man with the empty coffee cup.
What are you going to do for lunch today?
He said a nearby church would be serving lunch. So I thanked him for talking with me and went on my way. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
We have posted lots of links to resources about what you can do to help or just to learn more at WMRA.org. And I have to note that this report is the 500th story produced by WMRA News since we established our news and information program back in 2013. Thanks to all of you who support that program. You can learn more at WMRA.org. Mouse over News and then click on News and Information Fund. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting what we do. And enjoy your Wednesday.